Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we'll be looking at the role of Mary in Roman Catholic theology in light of Scripture. In our last study, we focused on different quotes from Roman Catholic Church sources, which in general show the exalted position which Mary has in the Roman Catholic Church. In today's study, we'll begin to look at the seven claims the Roman Catholic Church ascribes to Mary, which are the idea that she's the Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven, her Immaculate Conception, her perpetual virginity, her bodily assumption into heaven, the idea that she's the co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces, and the veneration of Mary. Let me read a quote from Cardinal Spellman, which describes a general exaltation that Mary has. He described her as, "O Mary, gate of heaven, none shall enter but through thee." That means in order to get into heaven, you must go through Mary, and that no one enters into the gates of the eternal city but through Mary. And as I've shared in a few of the broadcasts, I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, and I remember when I received the Lord and I started reading my Bible, I found that many things were in contradiction to what I was being taught. And the last time that I actually went to one of the masses in the Roman Catholic Church was many years ago, but I still remember what the Monsignor, the priest, was saying on that day. He was describing Mary, and one of his last words were that when you get to heaven, the first person that's going to meet you is Mary. She will welcome you into heaven. And that's the point at which I realized that I was in a group that was teaching me ideas that were heretical and were completely false, and that were completely contrary to the Scripture, and that they had exalted Mary to a point way beyond what the Scriptures describes of her. She truly is a woman that's blessed among women, but she is not deserving of the exalted position in which the Roman Catholic Church actually gives to her. In our study today, we'll look at two aspects of the seven claims about Mary, and that is that she's the Mother of God, and that also she was crowned the Queen of Heaven. First of all, in looking at the idea of Mother of God, it is actually found in one of the creeds, in the Chalcedonian Creed in 451. And the Roman Catholic Church would like to use that to say, see, that supports the idea of tradition that the Church has always held to this concept. But the Chalcedonian Creed, you have to put it in the context, what the Church was trying to prove at that point, because false doctrine was creeping into the Church, that Jesus Christ was not fully man and fully God at the same time. Some of the groups within the Church were overemphasizing his humanity, which diminishes deity, and some were overemphasizing his deity to the point of teaching that Jesus Christ was not a real human being like you or me. So when it came to the Lord's birth, they said he was born of the Virgin Mary, and they called her the Mother of God, or the Theos Takos, which literally means the God-bearer. And it wasn't a statement about Mary, it was actually a statement about Christ, of who he was, that he was actually the God-man. So the Church's point was to prove that Jesus Christ was both fully God and fully man, not trying to make a comment about Mary. Now, within Roman Catholic theology, here's how they argue, and I picked this up from the late Walter Martin, who I love for his devotion to the Word of God. Here's what the Roman Catholic Church teaches to try and prove that Mary is the Mother of God. Says, first of all, they would say Jesus is God. Second of all, Mary is the Mother of Jesus, therefore, Mary is the Mother of God. The problem is that this is fallacious reasoning, and it's not a sound argument, because Jesus was more than God, he was the God-man. And Mary was not the mother of the deity of Christ, but of the humanity of Christ. And then, as Walter Martin points out, if you want to use this reasoning, you could argue the following. God is a Trinity. Mary is the mother of God. Thus, Mary is the mother of the Trinity. See how fallacious that reasoning is? It's obvious that this argument is not sound. Let's look at a few scriptures in relationship to the role that Mary is given by Jesus himself. The first one will be found in Luke chapter 11. And this is actually the Lord's own words in response to the first devotee to Mary. In Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, I believe is there to cut off this very problem that Mary would not have an exalted position in the Church. Listen to these words. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." So here's the first individual that wants to be a disciple or devoted to Mary. And look how the Lord Jesus himself responds. But he said, "More than that, or on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So here he says, if you want to be blessed by God, it's those that hear the word of God and keep it. Not the one that brought the Messiah into the world, but those that would keep the word of God. Those are the ones that are blessed. So here he silences this woman's devotion to his mother and says what you need to be devoted to is hearing the word of God and keeping it. And this is very consistent with what took place in Matthew chapter 12 as recorded in verses 46 through 50, which once again shows the place that Mary has in contrast to a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So here Mary had no special place or influence over her son, Jesus Christ, here. Here he says, if you want to be part of my family, it's whoever does the will of my Father. Then you are all on the same status, on the same level. And there is no ranking among the members of the body of Christ. We are all one. Not any individual is exalted above any of the other members of the body of Christ except Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the only one deserving of that exalted position and exalted titles. So here, Mary is not the mother of God. She is the mother of the human Jesus. She bore the physical body of Christ, which was obviously a great blessing and a great honor, but it supplies her with no special rank or privilege over other disciples as seen in Luke 11 and Matthew 12. The second place that the Roman Catholic Church ascribes to Mary is that she is the Queen of Heaven. Let me read some of the titles that are actually given to Mary. She is referred to as the Door of Paradise, the Gate of Heaven, Our Life, Mother of Grace, Mother of God, Mother of the Church, Morning Star. That's a name that's given directly to Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. Refuge of Sinners, Mother of Mercy, Dispenser of Divine Grace, Virgin Mother, Queen of the Worlds. There are actually over 500 titles given to Mary in Roman Catholic theology. And in another place, Pope Pius XII ascribed to her in a prayer, he said of her that God crowned her Queen of the Universe. What we need to realize is these are titles and descriptions that should only be applied to Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11, listen to these words. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the one that has a name which is above all other names, not his mother Mary. It's unfortunate that in Roman Catholic theology, these terms, what they're doing is setting up Mary as the gate of heaven, that entrance into heaven, or described her as our life. Jesus is our life. She's also the mother of grace or the dispenser of God's grace. That means that she is a mediator between God and man, which actually mediates out the grace of God. She is also called the mother of the church. Again, these are all terms that should be applied to Christ. He's the head of the church. He is the refuge of sinners. So Mary's been given an exalted place in Roman Catholic theology that only should be applied to Jesus Christ himself. And such exaltation has been given to Mary primarily based on a couple of scriptures, such as Luke chapter 1, verse 28, where the angel comes to her and says, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Once again, as I pointed out in our last study, this simply says that she's blessed among women. I do believe that we need to give Mary the proper place in Scripture that God's given to her. She had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God used her to bring in the Messiah. But she's blessed among women, not above women. Also, as I pointed out in John chapter 19, where Jesus gives to John the care of his mother in these words in verse 26 and 27, where he says, woman, behold your son. Then he says to the disciple, behold your mother. Here, this does not mean that Mary becomes the mother of all of us. And it is kind of interesting. John was one of the later Gospels written, as well as Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, be written. And there's no hint of any such sort of devotion or prayer being offered to Mary at that point. The book of Revelation was written in approximately 95, 96 AD, and there's no hint of Mary at all having such a role. And John, of all people, because it says in verse 27, and from that hour that disciple took her to his home. And so John cared for her until the day of her death, and nowhere in the Gospel of John or in his epistles or in the book of Revelation is there any such exaltation that's given to Mary as we see in the Roman Catholic Church. And he of all people would have known because she lived with him and he took care of her. So these are obviously points which are completely contrary and foreign to the nature of Scripture. I just simply challenge you, read through the Gospels, read through the Bible. You're not going to find this place given to Mary as the gate of heaven, the refuge of sinners, the protector of the church, or one that we have to go through in order to get to Jesus or get to God the Father. It's unfortunate that many people are spending hours in their devotion to Mary where that devotion should only be given to Jesus Christ. And we'll continue to examine in the rest of the week the exalted position that Mary has in Roman Catholic theology in light of Scripture.